Good afternoon, everyone. Well, are you all ready for an amazing Holy Day weekend full of spiritual food? I have some questions for you. What are your goals? What are you good at? Or what would you like to be good at? Excuse me, I'm just getting my timer working here. Do you feel you lack intelligence in some aspect of your life? What bad situation are you in that you seem trapped? Or what difficult situation are you in that seems like there are no good choices? Are there smart people that seem to have the upper hand in your life? Is there conflict you are dealing with? If you identify with any or some of these questions, this message is for you. For whatever situation you're in, wisdom is the answer. Wouldn't it be nice to have the right answer? The right decision, the right words to say, or even the most creative solutions to what you're faced with. Let's go to James 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So in some versions, God gives liberally and finds no fault, has no regrets about giving you wisdom. In the Amplified Bible, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, that is to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. Now, I was reading this and I was just wondering why the gender there is he and him. Is it because men need wisdom and women don't? I'm just kidding, but I just wonder. God gives to all generously. So this message is titled, Wisdom from Above. So I'm going to ask a question and then give a number of points in answer to that. So the question is, what are the qualities of someone who receives that wisdom from above? So it's kind of like a checklist of things that you can do to magnify the possibility of receiving that wisdom. So the first thing is they know they lack wisdom. So in James 1 and verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Right, so there's an acknowledgement that you do lack wisdom. That you don't have all the solutions. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So even the foolishness of God is way beyond human wisdom. And in James it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God and he will give you wisdom. Not his foolishness, his wisdom. So how much more amazing is that wisdom that he gives you? It is by far above anything human. Number two, these people that receive wisdom from God have a second quality. They acknowledge that God is the source. God is the source of that wisdom. So let's go to Matthew 12 and verse 42. And this is Christ talking to some of the people there. He says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater is here. A greater than Solomon is here. So we see that Christ had even more wisdom than Solomon. And in fact, who was it that gave Solomon the wisdom? Right? Let's have a look at Luke 11 and verse 31. In verse 30 it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you have need of these things. But seek after the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure to give you everything you need. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we see the source is God for wisdom and anything good. Notice in those verses the words richly, thankful, and the word deed. In the King James it mentions the word deed. It could be translated works. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're going to later on cover thankfulness as a quality, but it's mentioned here. So God is the source of that wisdom. Let's go to Ephesians 1, back a couple of books. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 19. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and that the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So God gives us his spirit of wisdom. And in this Pentecost weekend, it talks here of his mighty power that he gives us. So point number two is they acknowledge that God is the source. Point number three is those who receive wisdom ask for it. Right? It's not good enough to know that God is the source. We have to ask for it. And if you've gone through life not asking for it, you're missing out on huge blessings there. Let's go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man of you is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Right, so asking is an important part of this process. Don't be afraid to ask God to give you that wisdom. Point number four is people that receive this wisdom ask in faith. Let's go back to James, James 1. James 1 and verse 6. We'll start in verse 5 again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we've got to ask in a spirit of faith and know with complete certainty that he is going to give it to you. So sometimes our past, how we were raised as children, we might feel like if we ask, it won't, you know, it's just too difficult to do, or I'm not worthy. Regardless of your past conditioning, what your limitations are, your glass ceiling that's limiting your growth or your future, fully believe that that wisdom from above is going to come without any reservation. That God just will just give it to you without any questions asked. You've just got to believe. If you think of yourself as unworthy or unable, didn't God call you when you weren't wise? Right? God called the foolish of the world. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and have a look at that. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Right, so God didn't go around trying to find the wisest person to come into this congregation, right, to be his disciples. He called average Joe. Sorry, Joe. I mean, who are we that God called? He called us to have his wisdom. He called us to be amazingly wise. In verse 20, let's go back to verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And in verse 27, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. This is the worldly wise, right? He calls the foolish of the world to confound the world with his wisdom flowing through us. Isn't that an amazing calling? We're called to have his wisdom flowing through us. And the base things of the world and things which were despised has God chosen. Yes, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So God's purpose is to give us amazing wisdom to do amazing things. In verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that's our purpose. It's to be wise, to be righteous, and to be sanctified, to be pure, to be cleansed. So point number 5, for those people that attract that godly wisdom into their lives, their faith is matched by their works. So if you ask for faith, ask for wisdom and have that faith, what would you be doing? Would you be just sitting on that? Or would you be exercising that wisdom in your life? When we think of Peter, when Christ was walking on water and Peter said, bid me, Lord, to walk on the water with you. Right? He stepped out of the boat. He actually did something. Let's go to James 2. Back to James. James 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them nothing of their needs which they're needful, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Right? So if we've asked for the wisdom and we have faith to receive it, what are we doing? What are we doing with that in our lives? Let's go to that example of Peter walking on water. Let's go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and verse 25 through to verse 31. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, that's after 3 a.m., well, let's back it up a little bit. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's 3 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. There's a brave guy. Now, of all those other disciples in the boat, they may have had the faith, but Peter took that step to walk on the water? What happened? In verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Right, so he focused on the storm and his faith dissipated. Sometimes our lives can be like that in the storm, and when we focus on the storm, we're full of doubt. But when we focus on God's word and his promises and his amazing blessings and know that God is going to come through, we can weather the storm. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. All right, point number six, those who receive heavenly wisdom or wisdom from above have joyful anticipation. So when you receive wisdom, or when you ask for wisdom, you joyfully anticipate the result. It's like you're excited how this is all going to work out, just knowing that God's going to come through in a way that you don't know. I mean, if you knew, why would you ask, right? You're asking for wisdom that's beyond you. So you're waiting for this amazing result. You're joyfully anticipating it. Let's go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Wow. So when God blesses you, it is just an amazing blessing. It enriches you, and there's no sorrow that comes with it. It sounds a little bit like James 1 when God says, if any lacks wisdom, ask, and he'll give it generously without any excuses or without repentance, or, you know, he's giving regardless of the circumstances. Here in Proverbs 10 and verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. In some versions it says no toil with it. Isn't that amazing? And that's the sort of attitude we can have when we ask for that wisdom. And when we have that attitude, our expectations are so much higher, and our faith is so much more real. Tracy and I have a saying that when we pray for something difficult, you know, we've got a hopeless situation, something needs to happen, and we ask God for the solution. After the prayer we say, I'm so excited to see how God is going to fix this. And when you have that joyful anticipation, you're exercising your faith that it is going to happen. God is going to deliver. And God has the answers. You know, for our difficult situation where we don't have any good choices, God has thousands of ways that he can change things or give you wisdom to make it an amazing outcome. His wisdom is way beyond where we're at. So joyfully anticipate that God is going to deliver. Point number seven. Those that receive that wisdom from above thank God in advance. They thank God for that wisdom even before they receive it. Let's go to Colossians 3. Now, I love this because when you thank God for something you haven't received, what you're doing is showing God that you have the faith that it's going to happen. Right? There's no doubt in your mind that it's going to happen. You're thanking him in advance. So Colossians 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, here we're back in these works again, faith without works. Whatever you do in work or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Right? So thankfulness should always be part of our conversation with God. Let's go to Ephesians 1, back a couple of books. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So this is Paul talking with the Ephesians back in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he's thanking God, showing that thankfulness and asking for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and that the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And on the Pentecost weekend, let's focus on that amazing power that God has for us. So wisdom, thankfulness, and God's power all go together. Point number 8, those who attract wisdom from above, they use wisdom from above for peace. So, you know, if you're in conflict or you need relationship wisdom, peace is the outcome. And when you are tuned into a peaceful outcome, that wisdom from above synergizes with you. Let's go to James 3. James 3:13, all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 18. So first we're going to look at what wisdom is not. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. Right here we're back to these good works again. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Right? We're given the opposite. Bitter envy and strife. This is the opposite. This is the poison to wisdom. Verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And remember back in Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, it's we're given that divine wisdom to confound that worldly wisdom, right? That worldly wisdom of strife and bitterness. God gives us that spirit to counter that. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Back to those works again, those good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So God's kingdom growing in our lives is a kingdom of peace, right? And, you know, in Isaiah it talks about his kingdom of peace increasing forever. And that's got to be our mantra too, that we should be have that peace flowing through us. And we so much need God's wisdom to do that. Point number 9, those that have that wisdom flowing through them live their lives serving others. In all the storms of life, there is certainty that we are his children and that he loves, he gives us what we ask for. And with this wisdom, this power that God gives you to do amazing things, we've got to have the heart of service. It's not self-enrichment, right? It's not for us. It's for others, right? Christ came to serve. He washed everyone's feet, right? And that's our walk as well. And when you do all these things, it magnifies that wisdom, that power. Let's go to 1 Kings and we'll look at King Solomon. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, and I shall give you. Right? A bit like Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it'll be given to you. So what does Solomon ask for? Let's go to verse 9. Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may be discerned between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, your so great people? Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing, right? And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your works, your words. Yes, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. Notice the tense here. I have given, right? And Solomon just asked for it. So, you know, when you thank God for giving you wisdom, it's almost like God has already given it to you. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. So there was none like you before you, neither after you shall arise like unto you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all your days. So God provides all your needs. If you focus on his wisdom, doing his will, he will give you everything you need. Point number 10, and this is the last one. They know that God will glorify himself, and they live as instruments to glorify God. So it's not to glorify yourself. Right, if you had amazing wisdom, wouldn't that kind of lift you up in your industry, your profession, or your network or whatever it is you need wisdom for, your healing or God's knowledge, your understanding of the word. If you do it to glorify God, God is going to powerfully give you that wisdom. Right? I think it was Pilate or one of the rulers around Christ's time who spoke a great speech but gave himself credit, right? Didn't give God the credit. He was dead that day, right? When we give God the credit for our wisdom, it glorifies him. Let's go just to look at that 1 Corinthians 1 again. As we didn't read the last verse there. 1 Corinthians 1, let's start in verse 29 or verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made into us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in God. Right? So this wisdom from above flows through us for God's glory. And when we acknowledge the source and sing his praises, then God will let that wisdom flow. Brethren, whatever storm is blowing in your life, know that the great God has the solution for you. All you need to do is ask for wisdom and ask for it believingly.